Let's spend a few moments, first of all, orienting ourselves to the real teacher. I'm the speaker. The real teacher is God the Holy Spirit, that we can open our eyes to see the truth. Seeing the truth is part of the battle. Walking it, walking by faith, is the other part. It is my experience. A lot of people, there are those who will see it, but will not walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. So, real battle, first is here, is seeing what happens when we do walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. But whether or not we choose to walk by faith in the Spirit depends totally in each of your lives after you leave here. So let's spend a few moments in prayer. Jerry, can I just a little louder? I can't get enough to maybe fix it. I'm not getting anything here. Well, very little. Can't hear. Well, you need to have that coming back. Very, very, very dim, even on the mic. Let me reach out new battery. Okay, my goodness, much better. There's the battery. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's fine, thank you. All right, let's prepare ourselves in prayer, because as I said, the first thing, and that is what happens here, is to allow the Spirit to open our eyes to see. There is nothing more demanding than to walk by spiritual life. I'm just so upset with the world today, with Christian world, that wants to be cruel and hurt one another and call that tough love so they can get away with it. No, people, there is nothing more demanding than what God the Father did with His Son, what His Son did on the cross, that He might forgive the entire human race. That's tough love. Putting your Son on a cross. Putting on the cross yourself. That's tough love. Tough love is not Him beating the world and sending the world to a lake of fire. That's not tough love. Tough love is sending His Son to die on a cross. And so Christians can find 100 reasons in the Scriptures not to love as Christ loved. You need the sword. There you go. There you go. We haven't prayed yet. And so, as I said, it's one thing to see the truth of walking by faith in the Spirit, that most people have a battle just seeing it and rejecting it, because no, the Bible says you've got to obey it, you've got to do these other things, and there's the law. But even if you see it, that's not where it ends. The battle to walk in the Spirit. Battle of faith. Not seeing that it's faith, but to continue to walk by that faith and to allow that love to flow through when you don't want it to flow through. I don't think we need to be in prayer for what I want to do for introduction. Front page of the paper today. Roy Rogers died. Big news. Rains in Florida. Very big news to them. But you know where the biggest story for us is? Right here on the side. The Northern Ireland peace process was hanging by a thread Monday as sporadic violence accompanied the second day of a tense standoff between Protestant marchers and riot police determined to keep them out of a Catholic neighborhood in the town of Drumcree. And it goes on. I don't know how many of these people are Christians. I don't know how many of the Catholics are and the Protestants. But they use our names. They use the Christian name. People, we have every we can find any reason to fight with one another, even kill one another. This has been going on for over 1,000 years. But it goes on between Christians on an individual basis, in homes and families and churches. Separation, judge, gossip, slander. We're no different than Ireland. This article is terrible. Not the writing of it, what it's being written about. What's the solution to it? Let's say they're Christian. Spiritual life. Not doctrine. Not the law. But loving as Christ loved. I've got reasons for taking my stand as a Catholic. I've got reasons and doctrine for taking my stand as a Protestant. Here's the doctrine. And we just got to do this. And we love them. This is tough love. No. Tough love is putting your son on the cross for your enemies, forgiving. Tough love is getting on the cross so that your enemies can be forgiven, believer and unbeliever. Now, people, nothing will make greater demands on us than to love as Christ loved. And I don't mean in being cruel with one another, fighting one another, taking our doctrinal stands. I'm so thankful Jesus Christ did not say, I write to you a new commandment, that you take a doctrinal stand. You'll be known by your doctrine. By this, all will know that you are mine if you take the doctrinal stand. Persecute one another, judge, kill the body of Christ, each other, separate, all this stuff. No, that would be easy. That's easy. See, I have a doctrine here for killing you. So I've got to kill you. I've got a doctrine here to separate from you. So I've got to separate. I got a doctrine here for judging, lying, doing all this stuff. People, it would be easy. It's not tough love. It would be easy for God the Father to have just zipped us all. Just zapped us all into a lake of fire. No, the love was forgiven. That was what was done. That's what Satan doesn't understand. People, he can understand righteousness and law. We have seen from this book, if you will see, that the greatest proponent of law, scriptural law, is Satan. He demands that God be law, be righteous. Because if God will just stay consistent on his righteousness, Satan wins. How? We all remain in his kingdom of darkness. That's all Satan wants. I will be like God. I will have my own kingdom. And all these creatures that God has created will be in my kingdom of darkness. Because God, I demand that you be righteous. There is not a greater proponent of law and of righteousness than of Satan. He hates law. He hates God's love. He hates a love that will forgive any and all circumstances. He can't understand it. He can't produce it. He can produce the pseudo-righteousness, but he cannot produce this love. It's against his total grind. It's against righteousness to love that way. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So our study in spiritual life is the greatest demand in our life. Protestants, Catholics, Christians, body of Christ, not that these aren't, but you're saying body of Christ, families, husbands, wives, children, in-laws, all this stuff, to love as Christ loved. No greater demand. But it's so much easier just to stand on my doctrine than to love as Christ loved. The fighting between Catholics and Protestants makes the front page of our paper, Heavenly Father. What doesn't make the front page is the way Christians treat each other throughout all of the world. In churches and homes and assemblies and conventions and denominations and individual churches and on and on and on. But it makes front page in the spiritual warfare. It makes front page before the angels who are watching and learning. Father, you have given to us the most difficult of all, and that is to love as Christ loved. But you did not just give us a command, you gave us the power to do it, if we will just but walk by faith in your Spirit. He will pour this love into us, not created by us, not generated by us, but in spite of us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, pray that the Spirit will open our eyes tonight, that we might see how important this love is in our daily life. And then, Father, that your Spirit will stir our souls to walk it, live it, walk with the Spirit. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's open first of all 1 Corinthians 13. Get our springboard. 1 Corinthians 13. No class next Tuesday. This gets complicated. We will have class Wednesday. So sometimes people... I remember in school, okay, Monday, all. That means all week. No, it just means that one day, Monday. But next Tuesday, we will not have class, but next Wednesday, we will. Usually I go to speak in Hot Springs from on Thursday and Friday night, but because of a lot of circumstances there, if I don't go now, I won't be going until near the end of August, and many people would like to have one more, so we're going to do it this coming. I'm going to leave right after church Sunday morning, so don't misunderstand. We will have services in our assembly Sunday morning, but we will not Tuesday night, but we will Wednesday night. So we'll just be back to that momentum on Wednesday evening. Not that complicated. So just bear that in mind and be in prayer. I know this is on tape, and I wish it weren't, but anyway, I had... come to the conclusion driving back last year. You're my assembly, my friends. And I was driving back the last time and prayed and thinking about it. And a lot of people tell me they like to take long trips in cars. I don't. And they say they like it because they can think. I think too much. And I, you know, get into overthinking and that kind of stuff. So I thought, and said, well, I don't think I'll go anymore to Hot Springs. We've done what we're going to do. And, it's so funny because I hadn't even been home a couple of days, and Jim Poulter called and just relayed something by a family who comes that just blew her mind, and walking by the Spirit, and they're seeing it because we didn't know if they did. And then about 3 days later, another event occurred, and I'd like to tell you the events, but not on tape. And then the third one. So I had to laugh. If you recall each time, I didn't even tell her that I wasn't planning on coming. I just said, okay, I think I get it. So we'll just go with that. So I'm going to go this weekend. So please be in prayer for them and myself in speaking, getting there, and these kinds of things. Okay. We have been talking about in 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 3, a powerful, powerful concept in dealing in verse 3 with giving. And we've gone through the giving of possessions to feed the poor, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So you can give to feed the poor, you can give all your possessions, as a matter of fact, even to the point where you become poor. But people, if it's not done in spiritual love, it's of no profit to you. We're not talking about what it may or may not be for them. We're talking about you. And a lot of times we get the idea, if I do this, if I give, if I am moral, if I learn Bible doctrine, if I emote and get the second blessing, if I serve even my whole life, that in itself is what God is looking for. Wrong. You will have created something, and what you have created will look like is Ishmael. That's why that story is brought into the New Testament several times. That is why, if you've ever wondered why, and we've studied this in Galatians, why does he keep bringing up, none of us are going to have a child when we're 100 years old, at least we hope and pray not, you know? So why is this brought up? Because you can produce Ishmael, people, every one of you can. That is, do it by the flesh. And you can, it'll look good. Ishmael looked good. Until you saw the son of faith. And that was Isaac. And then you look at Ishmael and you go, yeah, flesh. My production. You look at Isaac, God's production. Total difference. But until you see Isaac, Ishmael's going to look very good. So you can produce these things. You can give. You can do all of these list things that we talk about and produce something. But if there's no love. And I'm not talking about that fuzzy feeling that we create. This is a love of the Holy Spirit that can only be given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the same way that we receive the work of Christ, faith, we receive the work of the Spirit, faith. Now he goes from that, and we just jumped into this a little bit last week. Now he goes to the extreme, the greatest of magnitude of expression of love. And he says in this, and if I deliver my body to be burned. Now that means as a sacrifice. As a sacrifice. But do not have love. It profits me nothing. Now, why do we not have love? Because we refuse to walk by faith in the Spirit. That's the only reason a Christian will not have love. There are a lot of reasons why a Christian won't have a lot of things. But there's only one reason why a believer in Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, a member of the Godhead, actually dwelling inside of us, there's only one reason why we will not have this love that he's talking about. This supernatural Isaac type of love. Because we refuse to walk by faith in the Spirit. Now we can manufacture love. We can generate a love. It's Ishmael. But if it comes from God, it's Isaac. Okay, let's get to work. Deliver my body. Okay, next we have the conjunction henna, which is an interesting conjunction. It's a very rich conjunction. It is used usually to denote one of two things. It's used to denote purpose, or it's used to denote result. Purpose or result. And you know, this is one of the beautiful things. We have 10 preachers, Bible church, our own movement. Let's not pick on denominations. We have 10 Bible church teachers here, and we have 10 different views, as it were. We've noted there's only two, but we could have 10 different views here. And let's say all 10 of these pastors have taken the languages, and they know Greek, and they know Hebrew, and they know Aramaic, and Chaldean, and Ugaritic, and on and on and on. People, the problems are not resolved in the languages. Don't be misled that way. They're rich. They're important. They're powerful when the Holy Spirit can take a man and show him in the languages things. But the problem will not be resolved. You can't prove grace through faith in the Spirit by the languages. You can't disprove it by the languages. Somebody gets a scholar in the languages to prove their point, and they get another one to prove their point. And it's not there. But it is fun, and it is rich. Now, this conjunction, henna, H-I-N-A, can be a purpose, aim, or goal, or result. Here, the one that is at issue is result. This is a result. The emphasis is result. The prominent issue is result. Purpose is secondary. Purpose is secondary. So the result, look at what we have, the result to be burned. I deliver my body to be burned. That's my result of delivering my body. A subjective self. The purpose of delivering my body is for the benefit of someone else. A martyr concept. That's the objective. So my purpose is the martyrdom of someone else. But I deliver my body as a result that I become that I was burned with the result of being burned here. So he would voluntarily deliver his own body over to be burned to demonstrate that he was willing to die a painful death for God. And we'll come to Christ on this in a little bit, how he needs to have love. Had Jesus Christ gone to the cross but not had the power of the Holy Spirit and love, forget it. Okay, so Paul points out that without spiritual love, even the extreme and final, I think we'll all agree this is final for an individual, this is pretty final, the extreme and final sacrifice is your own body, can be of no value without spiritual love. Now, throughout history, many unbelievers have given their lives for others. Many believers have given their lives for others. We know it. We honor some of those people. We are thankful for some of these people. But let's stay in the spiritual. Profit them nothing. Let's take all the unbelievers. United States, our history, the war for independence, and all the wars since then, and police, and firemen. Oh, Herman, you are cruel. Fireman goes in to rescue a baby, let's make it really good, and dies. And you say it profits him nothing? I didn't say it. He's not a believer and not filled with the Spirit. Profits him nothing. Many people deliver their lives to be burned for religious purposes. America, I love studying America's early part of not like our forefathers and all. I'm talking about the people who went into the dark areas to the Indians to deliver the gospel and were, boiled in water, scalped, skinned alive. I mean, I don't even want to talk about the way the Indians thought of torturing men who came with the gospel. Does it offend you, though, that if they weren't filled with the Spirit, it profited them nothing? Nothing. Oh, God, I pray that most of them were. But I want you to see how important love is. It is not what we do. It is whether or not we are doing it in the power of spiritual love, in the power of the Holy Spirit, people. It is not what you and I do that matters. What God is going to look at is our soul, not what we do. That's going to be the great issue. People, and I don't want to take the time, but I pulled it out and spent almost three quarters of the day just reading through the Muslims. I have books on the Muslims, the Hindus, and the Buddhists. And I picked those three. People, there are special rewards for those people who will die, offer their lives in their religious causes. Rewards in their concept of eternity. If you did that, don't even talk about love. If you did that, you're going to get rewards. Die for Allah. But that is the greatest honor, is to die for Allah. And it doesn't have anything to do with your soul. You die for Allah, special place. You die for Jesus Christ, without spiritual life, no profit. people, don't be ashamed to think about this kind of God that we had. Is it just looking for that? Or do we have a God who wants a relationship with you? What kind of God do you have? What's your view of God? Just go out and die? Just go out and do it for me? I'm pleased? Or a relationship that says, you trusted me to pour my love in you, to guide you to do this. There's a relationship with me when you did it. So this is what kind of God we have. When I first make those kind of statements, I hope in a minute, in something in your soul, but then I want you to think, what is my view of God? What is God looking for? What's God looking for? He's looking for spiritual love. This is what he's looking for. And there are many born-again believers who have given their lives for others. Some have done it in faith in the Spirit, and we have books on missionaries who knew how to walk by faith in the Spirit, but many without the power of the Spirit, therefore, no profit. And we can say this because God is looking for a relationship, an intimacy. And the act of intimacy between man and man is love, physical love, this type of thing. But with God, love isn't the word. The word of relationship and intimacy with God is faith. Faith is that which joins us. That's why one of the most beautiful expressions of faith is kiss the Son in the Old Testament. And kiss the Son, K-I-S-S, is picture of faith. It's intimacy. Our intimacy with the invisible God, spiritual, real, but invisible, is our faith. That just brings us into an intimacy. Not only is it faith, why is it faith in the Spirit? So this is what God is looking for, is this. Now, there are many reasons why people will sacrifice their whole life. Many, many reasons. And do it without spiritual love. Christians. Patriotism. And then we used to study the three types of love in the human realm. This one was value love. I value my country. I value my fellow soldiers. And sacrifice, we have stories where a grenade was thrown, a guy jumps on it. It's obviously going to die. But if he doesn't, then all of them in the little foxhole are going to die. And so without them, he just jumps on it. And there's the end of his life. For his buddies. We often give the Congressional Medal of Honor for this type of thing. So patriotism. A lot of people will do it out of pride or arrogance. Honor from man. What did we just study in the one another? Seek not glory from man. People, what happens if I'm seeking glory from man? Sometimes I'll be called to sacrifice my own life because of the honor that man gives it. I seek and glory from man, so I will do it. Of profit to me, none, spiritually. Duty. Guilt. A lot of people will sacrifice their own life out of guilt. Altruism. Religion. Family. Fear. But no profit without spiritual love. Now, extreme example of love, spiritual love, be laying down your life, as we have it here. Even if I lay down my life to be burned. Okay, what did Jesus Christ say? I want to get to a point tonight, so we're not going to turn it right now. I'm going to hope that you know it. What did Christ say is the greatest expression, the greatest magnitude, the expression of the greatest magnitude of love? To do what? Huh? Lay down your life. No greater love has any man than he will lay down his life. See, okay. So what is the word greater? That means magnitude. That's the measurability of love. Spiritual love can be measured as you grow. Okay, so we have a lot of clauses like that. You must love me more than. And so we have a lot of magnitude expressions of love in the Scriptures. So that's the greatest expression, isn't it? To lay down your life and die for you. The greatest expression of love. I want to take you on a quick little journey with me. I hope your eyes will see it. It's powerful because it's the church. Look with me at John 13, please. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13, I'd like you to look with me at verse 36. Now, Jesus Christ has just said in the previous verses, I'm going to leave. I'm going away. Verse 33, little children, I am with you a little while, a little longer, you shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I go, I'm going, you cannot come. Okay, then he gives a commandment, new commandment on spiritual love. Now, I want you to know what Peter is going to do. We're going to take a little journey with Peter tonight. Because Peter, upon this rock, I build my church. What is Christ doing there? A lot of things. But one of the things we're seeing is, if we can see Peter as representing the way the church is a lot of times, and that's what Peter does for us. So let's take a look at Peter in verse 37 now. In verse 37, Peter starts an argument with Jesus Christ. You'd be surprised how many Christians would argue with Christ. Oh, not me. Oh, yes, you. There are a lot of Christians who will argue with Jesus Christ, the head of the body. Oh, you tell some Christians you don't love. Oh, yes, I do. And you can't tell me I don't love. I love him. That's what's going to happen here. And this is what happens with a lot of Christians. And Peter's going to argue with Jesus Christ, just as the church does today. Peter is like the church. He claims love, argues, and proclaims that he has it. But people, get it into your soul. Don't try to come to his defense here. Peter does not love the Lord. Period. Flesh love gushes with it. Ishmael love, by that I mean produced by the flesh, like Ishmael's produced by the flesh, gushes with it. That's not the love God's looking for. The love that God is looking for is the love that he gives us. People, God does not command anything of us that he doesn't give us first. He commands faith, he gives us faith first. He commands love, he gives us love first in the Holy person of the Holy Spirit. You don't come up with anything that God wants from you. Get that out of your head. You don't come up with anything that God desires from you. He first gives it to you, and it's up to us to give it back. Here's my love. You want to give it back. Here's faith. You want to give it back. You don't have to. You don't have to give that faith back to me. You don't have to trust in Jesus Christ, and you don't have to trust in the Holy Spirit, but I'm giving you that ability. And the same thing with love. Okay. Let's look now at Peter. See? He's proclaiming. Peter doesn't love the Lord. And I want you to understand this so that you won't defend him. Peter can't love the Lord. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit yet. And he's going to be just like a lot of members of the church who do have the Spirit but don't know how to tap into him and refuse to walk by faith in him. Oh, no, that isn't how you get the Spirit. You've got to do something for God first. Just like a lot of people say, you got to do something to be saved. So we know Peter doesn't. But just like in the church, he claims he does and gets very upset when somebody says, no, you don't really love him. Okay, let's take a look and see what Peter's going to do. And he says, I love you to the point, I'll show you how much I love you. I'll lay down my life for you. Will you, Peter? Will you do that? Ooh, okay, let's see what Peter does. All right, verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me later. When's he talking about? A lot of people think he's talking about when Peter dies. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. I'll show you. Verse 37. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? Boy, this sounds so good. Sounds just like a lot of Christians. I will lay down my life for you. What is Peter saying here? I have the maximum love for you. I will lay down my love for you. This is his maximum love. Verse 38. Jesus answered, will you do that? Will you lay down your life for me? Do you love me that much? Now, people, it's 8:10. I don't want to carry this over to next week. I want you to see the Peter flow all the way through. So I'm going to jump to some things that you already know, but I'll come back and we'll do it in the flow. I want you to remember in the background the discussion that Jesus Christ and Peter will have. Three times Christ is going to say to Peter, "Do you love me?" Where does that come from in John 21? Why all of that? If you will follow this flow with me now, you will follow Jesus Christ's conversation with Peter. Otherwise, it's just a conversation taken out of the air. Christ comes up to Peter and says, "Do you love me?" Let's see what's happening. And what's happening is Peter has just declared the greatest magnitude of love. "I will lay down my life for you." What is that? That's maximum love. It's the greatest expression of love. Jesus said, "Will you lay down your life for me?" Repeat it. Here's what's really going to happen, Peter. And I tell you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. What's happening? Peter, you're going to have, listen, three opportunities to show that love for me. Three opportunities. And you're going to blow it on all three. You're not going to express that love you claim to have. Because you can't. But I'm going to do something for you, Peter, where you will have that love. People, a lot of Christians claim love. A lot of Christians claim faith. What's their faith? The faith is in what I do. That's not the faith God is looking for. James is very clear on this. The faith God is looking for is a faith in me. God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. That's the faith he's looking for. Not a faith that if I do this, then God will do that. To be saved. If I will have lordship, if I make him Lord, if I commit, if I'm good, if I turn over new leaves, if I repent, if I, whatever, if I'm baptized, do a ritual, sacraments of the church, then God will save me. No, that's not the faith he's looking for. He's looking for just faith in him. To be filled with the Spirit. If I confess, if I repent, if I'm real good, if I promise never to do it again, if I do this, if I do that, then God will fill me with the Spirit. It's not the faith he's looking for. Will you trust my Spirit? Boom. I'll do it for you. That's what he's looking for. So Christ says, "I tell you, a cock will crow three times, and you will deny me three times." Okay. With that, let's look at Matthew. I want you to see this conversation by each of these men and see what's going on. Look at Matthew 26 with me. Matthew 26. Peter is going to argue with the Lord here. You know, if you told a lot of Christians you don't love the Lord while they're doing something really great for the Lord, what would happen? "Yes, I do." I mean, it's all that. You can't drop this for a moment. Let's go to the flesh. You tell somebody who's trying to express, you know, romantic love to somebody, and the woman knows. She just knows this guy doesn't. "You don't love me." Oh, yes, I do love you, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And we get very personal. People, if it's my love, if it's personal love, if it's love I'm coming up with, I take that very personally. But if it's love of the Holy Spirit giving me, it's there. I don't defend it. It's there. I don't exalt it. Love does not exalt itself. Got a lot to learn about love. But boy, we want to say, "I love him." All right, let's see what's happening. No more preaching. Let's get to the scriptures. Matthew 26, no more preaching, but right now. All right, Matthew 26, let's look at verse 31. Matthew 26 and 31. Okay, then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away." Uh-oh. "You're all going to fall away because of me this night." That's a tough thing. They've been walking with him, and he says, "You're all going to fall away. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." Now verse 32. "But after I have been raised," resurrection, "I will go before you to Galilee." Now verse 33. "But Peter," okay, we're going to argue with the Lord. And people, don't sit there self-righteous and say you wouldn't argue with him. You're the church. You would argue. The church argues with him. "I do love him. I may not walk by faith in the Spirit, but I love him. And you're wrong." No. Don't argue. This is the head of the church. Let's see what we got. But Peter answered, challenged, and said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, all these other bozos, all these other people may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Oh, people, be careful. Learn from Peter. Be careful before you promise undying loyalty. Before you go into this commitment, promise keepers, making promises, I will never, I will do. Oh, people, the arrogance of man is shattering to man's weakness. Reveals it. It's not what he's looking for. Listen to him. This is the church. But Peter, now Christ just said it. This is going to happen. Not me. Even though they all may fall away because of you, not me. Peter claims that he loves the Lord more than others. I want you to remember this. Boy, it was just times of, but John 21, what's Christ going to say? He's going to ask him, and we'll read it when we close. Peter, do you love me more than these? Now do you see where that comes from? Why did Christ word it that way? Do you love me more than these? He's taking Peter back. People, it's so good to see how we look when we try to live the Christian life without the power of the Spirit, because we create Ishmael. And Christ is just taking Peter back. What did Peter say here? Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Later on, Peter, do you love me more than these? And what's Peter going to do? He's going to back up, because he's been through this now. Only when God takes you through a real journey, and I mean a real crushing journey, do you really learn. Arrogance and self-righteousness always sees itself appear. You have to be taken through this little trip of Peter, Job, David, all of these people. And then you begin to see. Okay. Verse 34. Let's take a look at verse 34. And then we'll move on. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that this very night, before a cock crows, you shall deny me three times. Peter said, even if I have to die. People, he argues with the Lord. I just see somebody arguing with me. You really don't love him. You don't have the right to judge me. I do love him. You know what? I love him. No, I can tell by what you're doing and saying you don't. I could see arguing with man. But Peter's arguing with the head of the church. Peter's arguing with the Lord. But don't judge him, because we do too. We argue. Oh, you're wrong, Lord. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. There's a promise. People, anywhere in Scripture, does the Lord ask us to be promise makers? No. Promise keepers? No. He's the promise maker. He's the promise keeper. Don't put yourself in this spot. What does he ask of us? Trust me. Just trust me. That's what I want from you. Love one another and trust me, God. Trust my Son. Trust my Spirit. The Lord never asked for this. Never asked for this. Peter. Fired up for the Lord. Verse 35, Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing. And I love that, because while we're picking on Peter, people, they all said it. They all said it. Even that wonderful John that everybody gets so fired up about him. He's wonderful. I'm not denying that. His writings are great. But John said it too. Peter, tell you me. I'm the one who will never leave him. I'll never deny him. I'll die for him. No, they all ran like scared rats. All right, Matthew, Mark 14. Mark chapter 14. Even if you lay down your life, that's life. All right, Mark chapter 14. Let's look at verse 26. And after singing a hymn, they went out of the mount of the went out to the Mount of the Olives. Okay, they went out singing. So if these 11 men in Christ are singing, we can sing. Verse 27. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, interrupted, do you see another thing about love that comes from the flesh? Peter missed the whole part about the shepherd being cast down, the scattering and all of that, because he was so occupied with his life. People, arrogant, self-righteous Christians, always occupied with their love, with their righteousness. They never hear the truth. Peter never heard it. He was just, I love you, and you're wrong. You're wrong, God. Son of God here. You're wrong, God. You don't know me. Yes, I do. You don't know me. I love you. Okay. But Peter, let's just continue our reading now. But in verse 28, but after these days, that's about verse 29, but Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I say unto you, Peter, that you yourself, this very night, before cock crows three times, deny me. What does that mean? Deny that love. Doesn't just mean deny him, people. Understand what's being said. You will deny that love. Not just denying Jesus Christ, because knowing him, you will deny you love me. You're going to have three opportunities to die for me. And you're going to blow it. Because you can't love me. Not the way I want to be loved. Verse 31. But Peter. Look at verse 29. But Peter. Verse 31. But Peter. Kept on insisting. Kept on arguing with the Lord, just like we all would. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all were saying the same thing. Let me just stop. Can you see the scene of walking down the street late at night and see these 11 men around me? Not me! Not me, boy! Not me! Come on, guys. Ease up. I'm getting ready to die in the morning for the sins of the world. And you guys are sitting here worried about your life. You can't love me the way I want. But I just, as I was reading and studying, I just got this visual picture, because it consistently means over and over, and then the others were doing it. So you can just imagine what the love, you want to see spiritual love, and it's just some of its finest hours. It's moments like this. We look at the cross, and I will always use the cross, but on a personal, very intimate, boy, if I was a lot, would you guys shut up? You guys just be quiet. I'm thinking about what's going to happen in a couple of hours to me. No. Not his love. Okay. Let's look at Luke. Dr. Luke, the physician, 22. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, and we'll start at verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. We studied this. Satan asked permission to get in Job and David and all these things. He's always got to get permission. And he will, but people, and we've seen it, when Satan calls your name, you're down. There's only one person he couldn't bring down, and he thought he did, and that was Jesus Christ. He thought he did on the cross, and then the darkness came in, and Satan went, whoops. But when Satan calls your name, people, don't be self-righteous. You'll go down too. That's one reason you don't judge one another. What makes you think you're in their sandals, you'd be different? All 11 men promised this undying love. Okay, verse 32. But I have prayed for you. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Now, know what he prays. Not that it won't happen. Not that you won't go through this valley. Not that you won't fall. Christians are so caught up on falling and stumbling and failure and sin.
I love our Lord here. And I'm going to pray that you don't fall and your faith stays firm and you'll go in there like a soldier, Peter. No. It's not as bad. Learn from the Lord. I pray for you that your faith may not be totally eclipsed. That's what it says in the Greek. And when once your faith has turned again, strengthen your brothers. You'll be reconciled immediately with Christian faith. You're going to be reconciled immediately, and you're going to go through. What does he say? Now look here. Strengthen your brothers. Do you remember the John 21? What does he say? After each of the three times you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. This man's able to feed the sheep. He's going to know he needs to walk in the Spirit. He knows that. Verse 33. And he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go to prison and to death. A question on the accuracy of Scripture. Boy, we've had some different things here. What did he really say? And well, you got to remember, this is insistently. I'm sure there were probably, if there were more writings, we'd have 11 different things that Peter said and that each of them said. Here's added, I will go to prison. Did he say that? Yeah. Why didn't the others record it? He said a lot of things in his boasting of his love. Okay. I will go to prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me. Okay. So, three times, you're going to have the opportunity to express that love. Now, you'd be surprised how many Christians would argue with the Lord today that they do love him. And they don't even know how to be filled with the Spirit. They're still trying to do it by confession. They're still trying to do it by repentance. They're still trying to do it by working hard. They're still trying to do it by sacraments of the church. They're still trying to do it by just committing and yielding and on and on and on. Whatever their list of their denomination or church is. And would just fight that they love. You can't. People, please understand. You can't generate this love. This is not a fuzzy feeling inside. This is not the lizard crawling down your throat and tickling your stomach, however that saying goes. This is not some generated love, patriotism, loyalty. This is a supernatural love. And how do we gain anything from God? Just trust him and he gives. So they cannot love. All right, let's continue to Luke here. Luke 34, well, we've read that. So Peter had three opportunities to do what? He had three opportunities to die for him. That's a lot. He had three opportunities to express that great love that he boasted of, that he claimed. But he could not. Because people, he did not have the love that he claimed. No greater love has any man than this, that he will lay down his life. Peter denies and refuses to die. He refuses to die because he doesn't have this life. Now, had Peter died here, there would have just been no profit to him. We're going to keep Peter alive so that you and I can learn something in the church. So let's turn now to John 21. John 21. We've looked at this in so many different ways, and this is just another rich way of seeing and understanding what's happening in this little epilogue here. There's only one way to love this way. There's only one way to get this love. And people, you know, like I said, you have to decide. Each one of you. Now listen. Each one of you individually, as I myself, each one of you have to decide how do you think you get this love. Because I want you to understand, if you don't know, but I know all of you do know, that there are a lot of pastors who could line up here and tell you different ways you got to get this love, different things you got to do to get this love. You have to decide your view of God. How do I get this love? I want this love. I do. I hope you do. What an honor to die for our Savior. But only if it's in love. What an honor just to live for him. What an honor to suffer for him. But without love, it's nothing. What an honor. But without love, it's not. Perfect is nothing. So each of you people have to decide, how am I going to get this love to love him and love others the way Christ did? The fruit of the Spirit, how do I get it? Because your answer, dear people, please listen, your answer is your life. How you answer that question, I hope, is how you live. Because you want this love. If you answer, I have to do something, then people, by all means, spend your whole life trying to do that and get this love. If that's your view of God. If your view of God is from the cross and grace, the only thing compatible with grace is our faith. What is the crisis of grace? Changing of definition. Over here, people will jump up and down, Christians. The only thing you can do that's grace is saved by grace is faith. And faith alone, faith only. Faith is the only thing we can do that's compatible with grace. But over here they change the definition. But now you've got to do something else and now it's grace. Time out. How did it change over the cross to do something else? Where grace now means I do something for God. We change the definition. But God doesn't. The only thing compatible with grace. For the Christian, just trust me. You want this love? I'll give you Isaac. I'll give it to you. It's right inside of you. It's as close to you as your faith. Because the Holy Spirit's in you. Okay. When you can't even forgive another believer, how do you think you would die? You wouldn't. If you can't forgive and be reconciled, what in the world makes you think you would lay down your life as Father? That's what John is all about. The first epistle, it's about love. Don't claim that you love and you wouldn't even forgive and be reconciled with a believer. You're lying to yourself. You don't love. You hate. You wouldn't lay down your life. If you can't even forgive and be reconciled, what makes you think you'd lay down your life? That's what he's saying in 1 John. Just not going to do it. Okay. Look back with me a moment at Luke. I want you to see something. All right, I know what time it is. If you've got to leave, leave. I want to finish Peter, and I'm almost through. All right, look back with me at Luke. I'm sorry, I want you to look at Luke 22. I just don't want to pass some things up here. Look at Luke 22. Now, we just got the reading about Peter and the Lord and their confrontation. Now, I want you to look with me, if you will, at verse 54 in the same chapter. Luke 22, and look at verse 54. And having arrested him, they led him away, Jesus Christ, they led Christ away, and brought him to the house of the high priest, but Peter was following at a distance. And after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. This is Satan setting the scene. We studied this. This is the way it works. It's a cold, it's dark at night, it's cold, got a fire going. What could be more innocent? How many times do we hear our kids saying, and do we say, I was just warming my hands. I was just driving down the strip, Mom, Dad. I was just driving down. And then the whole world caved in on me. People, he sets up the scenario where that's all, I was just. Okay. Verse 56, and a certain servant girl seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him said, this man was with him too. But he, Peter, denied it, saying, woman, I do not even know him. Now let's look at verse 58. And a little while, another, there's a second one, saw him and said, you are one of them too. Peter said, man, I am not. And after about an hour had passed, another man began. That hour is very important. It's the hour of darkness. It's the hour of testing, hour of suffering, dilemma. A lot of things going on here if we had time. Another man began, or a woman, but that's important in what's going on. But anyway, of another man here began to insist, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. He insisted on it. He is as insistent now that he does not love as he was a moment ago that he did, a little bit ago that he did love. People, be careful. Be careful of your promises, of your boasts, and of your claims. Claiming faith, claiming love. Be careful. God doesn't ask us to do that. He asks us to walk by faith. Trust me. Trust me. Each moment, I will give you the power. I will give you the direction. You just trust me. Verse 60. And immediately while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. Oh boy, verse 61, I want you to get it. I want you to get it. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Why did he do that? The same Peter put Peter down, exalt over Peter. Is that the view of Christ? It's what man would do. It's what Christians would do. Why do you think the Lord looked at Peter? Well, look what happened. And Peter remembered. That's why I looked at him. This is what the Holy Spirit does inside of us. One thing that I'm learning on these little trips that I sometimes every now and then take you with, of encounters that Jesus Christ has with different people, women, man, one woman, men, different people. He can't be everywhere. He's just here and here and here. What are we seeing? If we will allow our eye to see, we're seeing the way the Holy Spirit deals with all of us. Since Christ through the Spirit is in every one of us. Christ can only be in, say, Jerusalem or Judea on the road somewhere and nowhere else. The Holy Spirit is over the whole world and every believer taking us on the same journey. This is what the Holy Spirit will do to us. So kind of remember these things as we flow through it. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Not to put him down, not to shame, not to say, you too, Peter? Oh, ete, Peter, te, ete, pute, type thing? No. Not any of that sense. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. I said to him, before cock crows today, you will deny me three times. Okay. He looked at Peter so that Peter would remember. You've claimed love. You don't have this love. Now look with me at John 21. Go to John 21. Oh, people, what does love do if we know what spiritual love is? Spiritual love will lay down your life. That's what it takes to bring about forgiveness and reconciliation. Christians want to have excuses for not forgiving and reconciling. Spiritual love will do whatever it takes. Now, it's all over. The Savior is resurrected. The book's over. The book is over. Chapter 20, verse 30. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Postscript. Epilogue. Add-on. I wish we had time to talk about this chapter. It's a phenomenal chapter. And it's not really part of the flow of John. Okay, let's see what happens now. John 21:15. The whole episode with Peter is very good, but we don't have the time now. So when they had finished breakfast, and by the way, Jesus cooked it, fixed the dinner, fixed the breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, he picked him out. Simon, son of John, nobody calls him Simon, not Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, do you know where the more than these comes from? Came from his boast. I love you more than they do. And what's the Lord doing here? Putting Peter down? Oh, people, that is, I hope that's not the view of Christ. I know that's your view of Christians, and that's the way Christians treat each other. It's not what the Lord's doing. One of the most wonderful places to be brought in any of our lives is to realize I can't take one step without trusting the Spirit. I can't open my mouth without trusting in the Holy Spirit. I need him. I need him to produce this love, guide, power, all these things. So this is where we're being brought here. So let's take a look now. Say, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. Okay. Just very quickly, the word love, most of you know this. The word love the Lord used is agapao, agape. Love it, what? Comes from the Holy Spirit. Peter uses another word. He uses the word phileo. He doesn't use the same word. You know what this is like? This is really basing this, but making it base, but you'll get the idea. You got to, those of you that are married and all that, you got to think back. Honey, do you love me? I really like you. What? I didn't ask you to like me. I mean, just the difference in those two words, boom, shot at it. Was just, I love you. Do you love me? I really like you. You just know it's over. I mean, you know it is zip. The next thing you're going to hear is, let's be good friends the rest of our lives. You know that's the next thing coming. That isn't what you want. Christ said, do you love me? And Peter says, I really like you. What has Peter done? Peter is where the church needs to be. Where we all need to be so we learn to walk by faith in the Spirit. I can't do it on my own. He's saying, I've been there. I bragged I loved you, and I bragged I loved you more than these. I shot off my big mouth, and I made promises. But I couldn't keep them. And I've learned, I can't. I cannot love you that way. This is so beautiful. I cannot love you the way you want to be loved. Yeah, you can. You're going to be able to in a few days, Peter. But, okay. Let's just follow this through now. Continue through. Okay. And then he said, tend my lambs. What did we read? I pray that you what? Strengthen the brethren. Christians are so ready to kick out some Christian, even in the ministry, or anything in life, but not realizing those are the ones, like Peter, David, who really can communicate. Verse 16. He said to him again, Christ said to Peter again, I remember, you had three chances to love me and you didn't. You denied me. Okay. He said to him again a second time, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I really like you. He said, shepherd my sheep. First feed them, teach them, then shepherd them. Got two things the pastor does. Pastor has to feed and he has to shepherd. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, three times now. Peter's had three, he's boasted love, he had three times, he had three opportunities to love the Lord, lay down his life, and he didn't do it. Now he has three opportunities to profess that love again, just profess that love again. He doesn't do it. He's been there, people. He knows. He said to him, Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved. He knew what was going on. He said to him the third time, do you love me? In other words, Peter's grieved that the Lord asked him that. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know what's going on, Lord. You know that I really like you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. Verse 18, truly I say to you, when you were younger, as a young person, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will guide you. Oh, people, we have so much going on here. One, this is a picture of your life with the Holy Spirit. In the flesh, you gird yourself, and the girding is important. If I could take you back and show you these words, you gird yourself in the flesh. You used to gird yourself. We walk by ourselves in the flesh. We walk wherever we wish in the flesh. But people, when you walk in the Spirit, He's the one who will guide us. So that's one thing going on. But there's something else that's going on so fantastic in love here. You will stretch out your hand and someone else will guide you, guide you, and bring you where you do not wish to go. That continues to picture the Holy Spirit. People, let me tell you something. You walk by faith in the Spirit, you're going to go places you don't want to go. You're going to love when you don't want to. You're going to forgive when you don't want to. You're going to be reconciled when you don't want to. You're going to be taking places you don't want to go. But if you're walking by faith in the Spirit, you'll go. Because He's leading and you're walking in that love. What's happening here physically? Next verse. Now this, he said, Christ said, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. Now, what happened here? What happened here is, from the time of the boast, I'll die, the greatest expression of love, he couldn't do it because he didn't have the love God was looking for. He's going to get that love that God is looking for. He's going to learn to walk by faith in the Spirit. He makes the greatest proclamation of faith in the Holy Spirit, faith, walking by faith, in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council, and in other places. So he learns how, and what's going to happen? Here's the grace and love of God. He's going to get to do that. He's going to get to lay down his life for him. That's how he's going to die, with his hands stretched out on a cross upside down, as the tradition has it. But he's going to have his arms out, and that's how he's going to die. He's going to die for the Lord. He doesn't want to, but he's going to die for the Lord that way. And how's he going to do it? Love. Where did he get the love? What's the difference between all those boasts and the way he really does die? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of spiritual love. Love is the difference. He now can love with that kind of love. He now has the greatest magnitude of love and expression of it. He will die. When you learn to walk by faith in the Spirit, people, you have this kind of love. This is why in 1 John we read, 1 John 3:16, what does it say? We know love by this. How do I know love? He laid down his life. What? For us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for one another, for the purpose of reconciling, bringing them to God. And that's one another, other believers. But we don't want to do that. There's nothing like the cost of love in all of your life. So Peter's going to be able to do it. But it's going to be able to do it once he has the power of God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit pours in that love, he will be able to do it. You will do things, people, that the world won't even understand. Christians won't even understand when you walk in this life. You won't even understand it. This is powerful. I would never have done this. But in the power of the Spirit, we do it. He will take you places. I love the phrase, where you do not wish to go. Those are the journeys the Holy Spirit will take you. Most Christians go where they're very comfortable going. But the Holy Spirit will take you on journeys you don't want to go. But without love, people, whatever you do, you're going to profit. Profits mean nothing. I hope you want your life profitable. Time and eternity. It's very simple. Just walk in the Spirit by faith, and He'll pour that love into you. That's right. Father, wow, thank you so much for the journey that the Spirit has taken us through this evening. Open our eyes to these things, Father. Pray that you continue to let us see over and over and over, more and more and more, these things, Heavenly Father, and then the Holy Spirit just grip us and convict us and lead us, Father, to actually walk this way by faith that glorifies you. Father, we do love. When we're filled with the Spirit, it's not a boastful love. We don't even know what we will do when we're filled with the Spirit. And that's the dynamics of it. That's the faith part of it. We just trust you. Wherever you take us. Praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.